Well, we're going to have some fun around the Word of God. Fair enough?
Amen.
The Word of God is the centerpiece. Say that out loud. The centerpiece of my life. Every decision I make, every move I make, right or left, I go to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is truth. So if I'm looking for truth, what am I going to find in the Word? The truth. I mean, even though there's a lot of things out there that are lies, but the Word of God is where I have my core values based right in the Word of God. Everybody take a deep breath. No, don't exhale. I just said take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Now you can exhale. You know where that came from? A God who made you and loved you. Still does. Amen. Glory to God. Now, during the I don't even want to say, we were going through that time that was difficult. Every service, we start out with the 91st Psalm. And the Holy Spirit, as I was in my office praying, he said, why has it been put aside now, only used in difficult times? See, the Word of God is used all the time. So guess what I'm going to do this morning? We're going to read the 91st Psalm. Are you ready? I'm in the Message Bible. You can read whatever translation you like. You who sit down in the high God's presence. See, that's where it starts for all of us on a daily basis. We've got to learn how to sit in the presence of God. We've got to learn how to get in contact with the Holy Spirit every day, and every day ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. There's not one day that goes by in my life or my wife's life as a couple that we don't have to stop and say, Holy Spirit, we don't know what to do. Sometimes it may happen a couple times. Sometimes it happens quite a bit before lunch. Amen. I get a little more hungry. But I'm telling you, learn how to get into the presence of God. When you realize that everything started in the Garden of Eden, and God looked forward to the time that he would spend in the presence of his creation. Who was his creation? He made Adam and Eve. Am I correct? So God is looking for the opportunity to spend time with you. Amen? Listen to the rest now. Oh, wow. Spend the night in Shaddai's shadow. Say this, God, you are my refuge. And truly he is. I think about when I was growing up as a kid and my dad and I, if there was ever a thunderstorm, we had a front porch and the second floor was screened in. And I'd sit there, and when the lightning and thunder would come, I'd get underneath his arm. You know why? He was a refuge, and I knew I was safe under what? My father's arms, all right? So whenever you're looking for protection, you're looking for something, you don't know what to do, realize that you can get in the shadow of God and say this. God, say that loud. God, you're my refuge. Sometimes if you depend on just on men and you go there for refuge, there's no arm anymore. He's always there. Say he's always there. Go like this. He's always there, all right? I trust in you and I'm safe. That's right. He rescues you from the hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. Coach, come here for a minute. Outstretch your arms. God's arms are always outstretched. Now pull somebody in, coach, just like that. So I didn't mean to do this, but there's something on your spirit. Hold on a minute. I just wanted him to stretch out his arms, and now we're going to go Holy Ghost. Don't forget, his arms are wide open for you. He's going to pull you in every time you need him. But not just when you need him. He wants to put his arms around you just to tell you he loves you. Amen? So whatever's on your heart, go ahead.
You're not here by accident. When Pastor read that, and he said he reached out his arms and pulled us in. Let that sit in your spirit. We was pulled so many different directions before he got a hold of us. Look at the directions you were headed before he got.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm not supposed to be standing in front of you right now. You hear me? Some of you couldn't have been sitting right here if he wouldn't have grabbed you and put you in. He's worthy. God is so worthy.
Yes.
My whole life flashed in front of me when he read that.
Wow.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Woo! Woo! Jesus with that one. He stepped out of heaven just for that one. And that was us. That was us. That one.
Yes, it was us.
Jesus, when you was that one that come out of your kingdom.
Yes.
Your heavenly kingdom, man. You took on flesh to show us how much you loved us. You didn't have to do it, but you did it anyway. You did it anyway.
You did it. You did it. You did it.
No, we were going to reject you. You did it anyway. You did it anyway. Woo! If it had not been for you, what would we be, Lord? What would we be? There's not a day go by that you're not the apple of his eye. Not one day, not one minute, not one second. With everything that's happening around us, we are protected in the secret place of the Most High. Yeah, they gonna come, the trials gonna come, but we protected. We protected, we protected. As filthy as we were, as filthy as I was. Woo! Thank you, Lord. For every person that you've been praying for, whether it be a family member, co-worker, whoever it may be, you're getting frustrated. You're getting worried. You want it to happen in your timing. You want it to happen now. And you're getting frustrated and you're asking and questioning God, why has it ain't happened yet? In due time, how many people was praying for the prisoner on the cross that lived the way he wanted to live all those years? But that one criminal who committed whatever he did all those years. Thank God. How many people have probably reached out to him and told him about Jesus? And at the last minute on the cross.
Yeah.
So whoever you're praying for, whoever you're interceding for, don't you quit. Don't get worried. Don't get mad. Don't get upset because it ain't happened on your time. In due time.
Due time, there it is.
In due time.
Yeah, point in time.
This criminal went to heaven with Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
After living a life of whatever he lived, whoever you praying for, they hungry and they thirsty, and they don't know where to find it just yet, but in due time. That's why we are strategic. When I preach the message, that one, we're strategically placed in places that he can't go, Pastor Carolyn can't go, but we go.
Mm-hmm.
We go. He is strategically placed us because he wants the gospel to be preached around the world to every creature.
Yes.
And the only way he gets that out is with our help. So don't get frustrated. Stay faithful, stay thirsty, and just continue to pray. Amen.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, love you, Pastor.
I understand something. I always repeat myself. That's good. But I'm in my office praying. I had no intentions of reading the 91st Psalm. Holy Spirit says, you read it. And of course, I had a conversation. I have other stuff. Read the 91st Psalm. And I've learned that when the Holy Spirit says something, he doesn't want to repeat it twice unless you have a problem with your hearing. And as soon as I said what I said there, it stirred inside my brother something that he had to get out for you and I to hear. You understand how the flow of the Holy Ghost? You never try to understand it. Just do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, just do it. Amen. Can I finish reading this now? Oh, we got a couple minutes left. That's wonderful. All right. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross like this. And his arms were reaching every human being, past, present, and future, and reaching out and grabbing with his love and saying, I am about to die for you, and your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Remember what Jesus did those 3 days he was in where? The depths of hell, preaching to those who had died before. Talk about a prayer meeting. Talk about a revival going on. Hallelujah. And just on his way out of hell, he stops, and what does he do? Turns around and tells the devil, oh, by the way, buddy, those keys of death, hell, and the grave you stole, hand them back over. That's why you and I are free today. Remember we preached about sin consciousness? The Bible's very plain, in Hebrews especially, that if anything you've ever done has totally and completely been washed away, it's forgiven. Say it's forgiven. That means nobody has the right to reach back, you or I or anybody else, and bring back something that used to be. That violates the word of God. The blood of Jesus Christ separates you from our past, and it opens the door to our future. Amen? Well, don't get too excited now. Here we go now, listen. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Fear nothing, not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at noonday. Even though others succumb all around you, drop like flies right and left, no harm even graze you. Say, no harm will even come by me and graze me. Amen. You'll stand untouched. Watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge. The high God, your very own home. Isn't that wonderful? It's not a house, it's a home he's created. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you'll only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer, be on your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party, and I'll give you a long life and give you a long drink of salvation. See, this works. And I remember when the troops in World War II were pinned down on the beach, I think it was Dunkirk. Soldiers were trapped on the beach. There was nowhere to go. And they were being scraped by German planes. This one unit began to sing this in unison. Not one soldier in that unit was wounded, was killed. They kept saying this. What do you think was going on? The Holy Ghost was protecting them. The angels were moving the bullets out of the way. Well, do you believe that stuff? Yes, I do believe that. All things are possible to those what? That believe. Amen? See, the most difficult situation, God's always going to work it out. Now, I think last week I told you when there was a gas embargo, oil embargo years ago. Did I share that with you last week? And I'm in college in Pennsburg, Pennsylvania. Well, no traffic lights. And one sign that says you're entering, the other side of the sign says you're leaving, big town. And the guy who owned the gas station, I knew him well. He says, Paul, could you come and park your trucks at two, three trucks? Big trucks with these big gasoline saddle, 60 gallons, I think they took. He said, if you'll park in front of my tanks and don't let anybody in because they're here so early, they're down the street, I can't get any business to fix a car. I said, no problem. Right in the middle of an oil embargo, I had all the gas I wanted. I couldn't come up with that one. I remember it happened again when I was in Yonkers, New York. They were giving you $5 gas. They had the lines down the street. You go up, pay $5. Well, one guy got smart. You know, some people are entrepreneurs. He went ahead through the line and said, I'm here to collect the money so you get through quicker. And when they got to the pump, the guy says, where's the $5? Oh, I gave it to your guy. He says, that's not my guy. And you want to talk about problems showing up, amen? Well, God will take care of your needs no matter what it is. I'm telling you, God will. Paul, I like what you shared about the woman with the oil. Perfect example. What did she do? What did God say? All you have to do, the prophet said, get as many, what? And I'll fill them. Listen, when did the oil stop flowing? As soon as she stopped. You and I can't stop, but we have to have faith and believe in God. People aren't going to do it. It's going to be God that does it supernaturally. Say supernaturally. See, I believe in a supernatural God. I do with all my heart. Listen to this definition of being off course or being deceived. Is someone or something that is lost or confused. Without the precious word of God as our foundation, we can become confused and lost. That means not following the plan or intended route. God has an intended route and a plan for you. When God talked to Abraham, what did he say? Your kids will be what? Like the stars in the heaven you can't count, or the sand on the planet. Was he right? You could scratch your head and get bald, for goodness sake, trying to figure out how you're going to do this, God. But God is a supernatural God. He took care of the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. Hang on. Their shoes didn't wear out. Today, our kids wear their shoes out in about a week. They didn't wear out. Say that with me. They didn't wear out. Moses struck a rock, and what happened? Water came to feed millions of people plus the livestock out of a rock. Now, I could stand there scratching my head all day long, but all I'm going to do is get a cup and get a jug and fill my thing up. How many of you ever been to Saratoga Park where the water comes out? I took my little grandson, Matt there. So what are all those people doing? Oh, they're getting water. It's coming out of the ground. I used to come here when I was a kid. We don't want to talk about what year that was. But he says, how come? I said, that's what happened with God. Took care of the Israelites. Wow. Just kept coming. Now listen, the next time God told him to speak to the rock, it's the same God. But he wants to speak to Moses and have him raise his faith level to a different level. Are you hearing me? What God may have done one time, he may change and do another time, but God never changes. He's the same. When blind people were healed, did he heal them all the same way? No. One man, he put what? Mud on their eyes. Is this the healer putting mud on my eyes? And how did he do it? He spit in the dirt. Oh my God. And then go over here to this pile. He's supposed to know where he was going. Somebody had to lead him. And he washed the mud from his eyes. What happened? His sight came. See, God will do it different ways, but he's always going to do the same. Amen. He's a healer. Listen, if you don't mind, to this scripture verse. And I may be talking about this a little bit more in the future. But Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 in the Living Bible. We who have fled to him for refuge, guess what we read, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. God is an anchor. Guess what one of the names for Jesus is? A anchor. Amen. We'll talk about that at another time. Listen to Isaiah 43, 2. When you pass through the waters, pass through. See, whatever you and I may be going through, whatever we're facing in the future, you're not going to stay there. You're going through it. Let me try that again. You're going to go through it. Now, if you and I want to stay there, then you better bring your swimmies. We're going through. Nothing can stop you or I. We're going through. I'll be with you when you go through the water. Listen. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle. You're going to be good. Remember the Hebrew children in the what? Fiery furnace? They got thrown in. They were bound up. They're going to die. But when the people that threw them in were consumed, it was an oven that they would make bricks out of. That'd be hot. When he looked in, he said, how many did we throw in here? Three. But now there's four. And it looks like the Son of God. I'm telling you, whatever furnace you're thrown into, whatever obstacle comes your way, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, will always get a hold of you and pull you out of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself happy. Now listen, faith needs application. I've been talking about faith. Here's what we do. Start in faith. Say this with me. Start in faith. Stay in faith. And then you'll be able to finish in faith. That's the only thing. All right? Do me a favor. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible says this in Galatians 5:6. It says, faith works through love. The reason sometimes faith is not operational the way it should be is because our love is not functional. It's because our love, the love of God, God's agape love, isn't sharp. Now, I'm from the old school. We actually had pencil sharpeners and blackboards you had to wipe off and all good stuff. Always had to have a number two pencil sharp. I went in to vote. Good thing it was electronic booth. Rejected your vote. Why? You have to color in the boxes a little more. I said, this machine knows more than I do. There's a mark there. Oh, you have to color it all in so there's no white showing. Are you kidding me? I felt like I was back in school. But a sharp number two pencil in the military, sharp number two pencil. When it got dull, guess what we used to do? Sharpen it. It was a wonderful idea. Now listen to this. If you don't mind, in the Amplified version, what love is. Get ready now. What love is. Because God's love in us should operate only this way. If it's not, it's going to hinder your growth from doing what it's supposed to do when it comes to faith. I said it's going to hinder. It may not stop it. It's going to hinder it. And then when it takes too long for faith to operate, you say, well, God, where have you been? We don't want to blame God for anything. Nothing is his problem, all right? So listen to this as I go. Passionately and patiently bears with others for as long as patience is needed. Hoo-hoo. Love doesn't demand others to be like itself. When it does, you and I have been looking in the mirror too often. Rather, it is so focused on the needs of others that it bends over backwards to become what others need it to be. When Paulie was sharing some of the folks that came and their needs were met, that's exactly what that verse said to me. If there's a community out there that needs something and the Church of Jesus Christ isn't having another bake sale or they're not having another bingo, they're actually working in the community to meet the basic needs of people. Listen, we're in a country that shouldn't have people be hungry. We're in a country where people should not go without. We should not have people on the streets begging for money, begging for the next dollar. I'm telling you, when you start loving people the way the Word of God says, God will put your faith in operation to do something. That's how that building went up. That's how all the agencies that we deal with happen. Paulie, my God, he works so hard in there, and he gets, when some of the kids come over, he's always feeding them pizza. And I have to make a pizza run and bring it over. And usually there's one slice missing, but somebody's got to make sure. He never complains. The kids that come in and help him never complain. How many mattresses did you get that one time, Paulie? 800 and something? 800 and some mattresses were donated. You have never, these kids look like ants. They were handing these mattresses up and somebody at the top was catching it. And I'm looking at them like, I should go get the pizza now, I think, as I'm getting hungry watching them. But that goes on and on and on and on every Thursday. People come and people go, wonderful people, because we have love and we bring it into the community. It's not just a sign up front that says, Jesus loves you. He loves somebody because he lives on the inside of you and I. Because the Bible says in James, faith without works is dead. So you can have dead faith. I choose to have faith that's alive. Amen? Let's go to the next one. Love is not ambitious. It's not self-centered or not so consumed with itself that it never shrinks and thinks of the needs or desires of other. Wow. No, my God. Love doesn't go around talking about itself all the time. You ever know somebody like that? Me, myself, and I, yeah, that happens. I'm talking about God's agape love here, not natural love. Are you right? Love doesn't go around talking about itself, constantly exaggerating and embellishing the facts to make it look more important in the sight of others. Are you kidding? God's love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, and clannish manner. What kind of love is this? Say God's agape love. Say God's agape love. The Bible says God what? Is love. Simple verse. And where does God live? How many of you are believers? Then that love should be being exercised by faith to a lost and dying community. Amen? Glory to God. Say hallelujah. I got that. Oh, here's another one. Love is not rude or discourteous. Somebody's sitting in my seat. Go find another one. I grew up in a church where people donated the pews, had the name. And I'm just a little kid, but I can still remember this. Somebody who's a visitor comes and sits in that pew. They went nuts. It wasn't about what the pastor was preaching. It wasn't about we have a guest. It was about the talk and the gossip about somebody sat in my seat. Love is not rude or discourteous. It is not careless or thoughtless, nor does it carry on in a fashion that would be considered insensitive to others. God's love does not manipulate situations or scheme and devise methods that will twist situations to its own advantage. God's love does not deliberately engage in actions or speak words that are so sharp they cause an ugly and violent response. We got enough of that going on in this world. Can you imagine if somebody who has love, the love of God in them, a born-again believer, when they're attacked with words, spoke back something kind? We could change this world immediately. Right now, when somebody says something, somebody comes back, it's a constant bickering. It's a constant, I'll get even with you. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. But that's what a believer needs to do on every occasion, all right? All right, here we go now. Oh, I like this. Love does not, oh, here's my favorite. Say, Pastor, is this your favorite? I'm glad you asked. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past mistakes. That's my favorite. Our faith must operate through the love of God, or our faith will remain idle and useless. All right? Am I helping some of you? Yes. See, my glasses are excited. All right, here we go now. Love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past. You just read that. I know, I'm going to read it again. Love, God's love does not deliberately keep records of wrongs or past. Love does not feel overjoyed when it sees an injustice done to someone else, but it's elated, it's thrilled, ecstatic, and overjoyed with the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. A couple more and we'll get you on your way, all right? Love, God's love, protects, it shields, it guards, it covers, it conceals, and safeguards people from exposure. Love always, hang on now, expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Some of us need to work on that. Have you ever criticized somebody's property as you drove by? I used to do that a lot. Until the Holy Spirit said this to me one day. He said, what's your address? Oh, what do you mean? That's not your house. If they like it to look like that, that's okay with me. Yeah, but they got an old truck in the front that's all rusted out. Do you live there? They got a swing in the front porch and it's broken. It's been leaning for years. Do you live there? How about the love of God on the inside of me says, listen, I know your swing's broke there. Can I help you repair it? Or maybe I can buy you a new one. That's what the love of God does. How many of you know your address? Go home. I may find out where you live and come knock on your door and fix the swing. Anyway, we're on. I got two or three left. God's love always expects and anticipates the best in others and the best for others. God's, I got two left. Isn't this exciting? God's love never quits. God never quit on you. It shows by the fact that he went to Calvary. The God of the universes went to Calvary, died for you and I. Listen, one drop of blood on Golgotha's hill will do anything and everything it can to reach to every lost soul on this planet. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, get ready. Things are happening. Love always expects, anticipates the best in others and the best for others. Oh, two left. Love never quits. God's love never surrenders. And God's love never gets up. That's a true definition of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Love never disappoints. God's love never disappoints. God's love never disappoints. God's love never fails and never lets anyone down. That's not just referring to believers. That's you and I never let anyone down when it comes to whatever situation God wants us involved in. I like Harvest Church. You know why? People always say this. We feel really loved at your church. If it's not that way, we'll start all over again. I'm here to tell you, faith will not operate unless the love of God is operating in us. It's that simple. Say God's love has to be in operation according to the word of God, or else my faith can never rise to another level. Say hallelujah. I want to jump ahead of what I was supposed to do here, but it needs to be said, I think. Now, if I can't find it, that's a different story. Fair enough? But I'm going to talk about different kinds of faith. One of them, and I'll talk to you next week about it, transferable faith. Say transferable. Bible talks about faith that's strong, weak, all kinds of faith, but there's one in Timothy, transferable faith. Can I tell you what this church tries to do for you? What our family tries to do is to get you to learn to get to the level of faith that operates through love that's transferable. Do you understand you felt the love of God when you came in and you still do? How many of your faith level has increased since you've been here? Well, I guess so, yeah. And it's going to keep on growing, but it's not enough to stop. It's for us to find out who we can transfer the love of God to by faith. Amen?